It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This week's episode is brought to you by National Geographic's Free Solo. The documentary is a breathtaking portrait of climber Alex Honnold as he prepares for an unprecedented feat, climbing the 3,200-foot high face of El Capitan in the Yosemite National Park without a rope. Celebrated as one of the greatest athletic accomplishments of any kind, Honnold's climb proved that the limit of human achievement is far from being reached. The Seattle Times called Free Solo a masterpiece nearly as impressive in execution as the climb itself, and Vanity Fair said it was one of the most arresting documentaries of the year. For your Emmy consideration in all categories, visit www.natgeotv.com/FYC for more information.
Hi, ladies and gents. It's your boy, Dina Ray Ramos.
Hey. And it's Amanda and Duca. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast.
Okay, and this episode was kind of crazy.
A fun one.
It was crazy fun. We have Alana Glazer and Abby Jacobson from Broad City on. We eat sous vide eggs.
Yeah. So if you guys kind of like, if we sound weird, that's probably why.
This episode's kind of a mess, but it wasn't a mess. We were just kind of, it was just like four friend or five with David.
Yeah.
I was happy because everybody who comes on here, I feel, is from Texas. You guys played it out.
Finally, you had a moment. David had his
Abby
moment.
Abby is from
or your neighborhood.
From, yeah, right. Yeah. She, her mom and I went to elementary school together. And
Your mom?
Yeah, my mom and her mom.
Okay, I thought you said her mom and me.
Yeah, you said her mom
well,
and
technically
I.
We did because I went to the same elementary school.
Oh, okay.
But, and then y'all went to the same
but
church.
No, so
right?
She's
synagogue.
Yeah, we're both Jewish. we went to the same diner though.
Yeah.
They are so talented. Broad City was an amazing kind of groundbreaking show. Not kind of. It was a groundbreaking show for like female buddy comedies, and we talk a lot about the last season, but overall we had like a spread of Starbucks.
Exactly. It was like the most like very festive. Yeah,
they
it was
had
very
their luggage.
They yeah,
had
their Alana. Luggage. Yeah, Alana bought like all her luggage because I think she was leaving to New York like soon after the recording, and just talking to them and seeing they're just cool gals.
They're really cool. Yeah. Like you could like chill with them.
Cool broads.
Yeah. Good job. No, but they seem very like you could just like I said, chill with them.
We could have talked for longer.
Yeah, we could.
Because I think we were pressed for time as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. But it's a great episode. You guys should definitely enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and also Starbucks sponsor us. Sous vide eggs.
There was a really cool moment I just want to mention because it wasn't on the podcast.
The reason why
we were pressed for time is because I had another podcast afterwards with Patty Jenkins.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
When he left the room. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we were leaving, Patty was coming in and saw them. Patty Jenkins, the director of Wonder Woman.
She fangirled.
She totally fangirled out over them. She was like, I have to tell you, I'm such like a big fan of you girls. I've been watching from season one. And I had this view of Alana. She was clutching her heart. Like, it clearly meant so much to her. And so that was such a great moment to see.
We were all in this like hallway. It was like a collision of worlds. Wonder Woman meets Broad City, you know? Yeah. And it was just
so cool to
see them interact and like kind of praise each other and like seeing three very talented women in the industry just kind of supporting each other. And I thought that was amazing. Yeah.
I talked to Patty afterwards. Oh, and cool. She was saying, like, she was shocked that they recognized her.
Stop it.
Really?
She was. She's like, I'm such a huge comedy nerd. I've seen all of Mr. She, Patty Jenkins directed, like, Arrested Development.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, right.
So she's such a big comedy nerd person.
But it kind of makes sense that she would love Broad City. Yeah. Broad City. I said Broad City.
Look at what we did, guys.
We bring people together here. On the New Hollywood podcast.
Anyways, enjoy.
Yeah. Well, Abby and Alana, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
I was like, I don't really know how the chairs come back up. So I think
I don't either. I'm going to stay
stuck
here.
Like that.
It's no, okay. But guys, thank you so much for coming to our podcast, our humble little podcast.
Our pleasure.
This is a legit podcast. Yeah. This is like great setup.
Great view.
Great view. Setup. The highway and the mountains. I mean, any view is a good view.
Yeah, it is. That freeway is annoying as hell, though. But, you know, guys, thank you so much. And I know you guys are busy. We're all busy. And we were just talking about how much we love the live-action Disney movies. And how our producer, David, and Abby have a connection.
Yeah.
My mom is from his hometown.
Small
East Coast Jews.
I actually was supposed to interview you guys in South By this past March. But
I remember.
I had to cancel on you, and I have to apologize because they made me go see AOC instead. So I was like, I figured you guys would understand. Okay. I had to cover AOC.
Totally.
No, I think I could have, but there was like a huge overlap. And I was like, I wanted to talk to you guys.
I don't remember. Don't worry about it.
I know, right?
Good job.
How did you know?
Go do AOC. Good
Wait,
job.
Can I ask real quick? People constantly tell me that I sound like her.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. I think she goes a little higher, but I get it. Constantly.
Wow.
Really? I don't think so. Maybe I need to hear. We need side-by-side comparisons.
Yeah.
We'll do that
okay.
later. So, Broad City, it's been a while since I rewatched the season.
Since it ended?
Yes, since it ended.
It's been like a month.
It feels like 3 months.
We're chopped liver to you already, Dina.
Yeah, wow.
Jesus Christ. I get
so
it.
So much content. Right?
Okay, because I rewatched it.
It just ended.
Really?
It just
ended. End of March, yeah.
Dina, give me a break, man.
I was like,
really? Why does March feel like so long ago?
I mean, it kind of does.
I don't even know what month it is.
I know. What day is it?
I think with like the political climate, things are go a little slower. It's like every day is a big day.
Right.
Yeah.
And plus, like you said, you ingest a lot. I watched this. I don't remember when I did, but I know I watched
Because, you know, you watch it beforehand, like, you know, because press people get it earlier.
I was wondering, did you get the whole season before?
We got, like in snippets, like we would get episodes 1 through 3 and then like kind of, kind of like slowly feed us.
Yeah.
But I rewatched the finale last night in preparation for this and like I was watching it again, I was like, "Oh my god!" And I was doing this a lot. my hands on my chest, and my face is giving a
aww.
Yes, especially at that end. Oh my god, guys! So like, since it has ended, how have things been for you? Has it been like a phantom limb, or like, have you taken a vacation?
I just filmed a film. I just filmed something that I filmed. I just shot a film. I like have no words left. I have no physical capability left. Mm-hmm. I'm like empty and dead.
The finale aired on Thursday, and Alana started her movie on the Monday.
Okay, so no break.
No break. Yeah. I'm gonna take off August and June.
I was gonna say August.
Month are we? And like July, like some of July.
Yeah. So it's gonna June, July, August. So you're gonna have like a real summer.
July.
Okay.
And August, but whatever. So I shot this film for 21 days that I wrote with.
Is it the false positive?
Yeah, exactly. That I wrote with my friend John Lee, who's directed episodes of Broad City and is our friend. And I think I like needed it to like delay the processing of the end, but I feel like great about it. I feel like it was like the right time, the right way. I feel like we cared for our audience in a way that they are like receiving. Mm-hmm. They like know how much we care about them. Like I feel so proud and satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a satisfying ending.
Was it something that always how it was planned to end, or did you guys?
For a while, okay. the big strokes of like the season arc.
The big strokes of
somebody moving away.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of came up, like birthdays were always a big thing. And mm-hmm. 30 felt like, that felt very, it just was like kind of the perfect thing for Abby to turn 30 and leave. We thought some, like that's why it would end. Mm-hmm. It has to end mm-hmm. if the like the city is such a big part of the
The Paris too. We always had this like visual, yeah. mm-hmm. but I think once it that was like one of the easiest episodes to write this season, because Paul had a dream. Paul, one of our Paul W. Downs, mm-hmm. Writer, actor, director on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just we've been circling around these ideas, and then he like literally had this like dream and saw it, and it was just it just really it felt so right, I think, to us and you guys, the audience. Yeah. You know?
And also the finale doesn't really follow. If we have a formula of right. the rest of the episodes, yeah. which is
gotta allow her in the
We could keep this in,
especially
here.
While we're talking about Paul.
Oh, hilarious! Okay. We're talking about Starbucks sous vide eggs here. No, but we. Well, what was I saying here? Sorry, I lost my train.
Oh,
of
we were talking about. The dream, and the finale.
The ending, it
the ending like, how if it, it was how you wanted
like it. Right. The finale was way easier to write in a way because all the other episodes, while they don't have a formula, they're very twisty and turny.
Yeah, so yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like sometimes when we'll be watching the first cuts, or we're like, we're in the same episode. Mm-hmm. Like one episode, the act breaks take you all over and like so much happens. And in the finale, actually, it's mostly just a walk and talk.
Yeah,
the whole second act is Alana and I just talking on the bridge.
Yeah,
and that was we always wanted to do. We call it a classic Abby and Alana walk and talk over the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
And that was just really difficult because the bridge is really it was just a clusterfuck of people. It's like live, meaning background is background, and so it was a lot of just convos and a lot of. Thank you so much. And a lot of goodbyes.
Yeah.
It was like a lot of goodbyes.
There was.
You saying the thing about the bridge, like the bridge we've talked about, Abby turning 30, we were like, let's do it at the end. Let's do it as the finale. Mm-hmm. And then we realized to do it for the first episode. Like there had been a lot of pieces moving around for Broad City on Broad City for years that that's another thing that's so satisfying from our end of it that I feel like we really got to do everything.
Yeah.
This bridge thing we've been talking about just as a cinematic finale since season one. Mm-hmm. And like to it the way that, I mean, and it's just, we've just been doing this for 10 years. We started the web series in 2009. Mm-hmm. Like the bridge we got in and the fact that it landed in the finale, like it just feels so, I feel so like actualized about this project.
Yeah. And like one of the first, it's so small and minuscule, but the show is always about details and just about realness. And this is such a, it feels stupid to talk about bacon, egg, and cheeses in this way, but when Alana and I started the web series, one of the first, when we were like, well, what is it going to be about? And one of the first things, and I still have this notebook that we met at a pizza shop near the UCB Theater one night in 2009, and we were like, what should we write about? It should just be about our dynamic, and we were like, well, it's ridiculous that they don't, no one will make eggs after 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, no one in New York will make eggs after 11. And so, we put that convo in the beginning of their relationship, which is 401 where they meet, which is the last conversation in 401, which was sliding doors. So real one where you follow the real Abby and Alana, that's the last conversation. And that's the last plot line is finding a bacon, egg, and cheese, finding eggs
and
after 11.
The final conversation was our first web series conversation.
Yes. The two pair, the last pair of women.
Yeah, Sydney Washington and Marie DeFausto, this pair of comics from New York, were like, they say that phrase about like making change. Uh-huh. And she's like, come on, you know, he got small bills. And the way Marie said it was like, I just feel so lucky, so grateful, so I know blessed is like a joke, but I'm like,
no, but it's
true. But it's true.
Fucking blessed. And you know, like
in the real way, like not the
not with the hashtag blessed,
not the overused
the hashtag
way.
Blessed
but
is
I don't
like
even
a real...
mean like not
that. Okay,
take
so full disclosure,
like,
guys.
The bite and
we need to tell our listeners.
What are these called again?
These are sous vide eggs.
Now
Starbucks.
I wish we were sponsored by.
Right.
It seems like we should be sponsored by Starbucks, but
right, if you say
one of our writers,
Starbucks,
Trey from the show, is obsessed with these sous vide eggs, and I was like, okay, Paul, and And they are really fucking good.
Yeah, they look delish.
I think this is somebody's. You can
try. I'll try one of these.
If you see, it's like, a little weird.
Let me split it with you. No, I want to have
this.
You want a whole one?
Okay. I only want one.
Okay, like BuzzFeed Tasty or whatever. It's like you can make these in the oven in cupcake tins, and you make them in egg cups.
Oh, I did a deep dive of
how. Oh my god.
No,
it's so good.
You guys,
this is hilarious. We all should be getting paid.
I know. So guys, full disclosure: we are eating these eggs, these sous vide eggs. And we were just talking about it before we went on the air and or recorded, and how disgusting they look in the display case. Because that's why I never got them.
Yeah, but I gotta say they are actually usually better than this one.
But they're good.
Yeah. They're good, but it's usually like where you're like, this is like an okay one.
This is just an okay one.
Really? I can't tell the difference between one sous vide egg than another.
So you guys, Starbucks, if you're listening,
right?
Sous vide eggs all the way.
Give me money.
Yeah. We'll do a sous vide eggs situation.
So I just,
my God. I love how informal this podcast is. This is actually really fun.
Yes, we're talking about same age.
Same age,
Our parents.
This is really good. Okay.
Wow. High school together.
Yeah. Okay. But back on track.
Okay,
back on,
so I just wanted to say we're back the biggest fans of Broad City. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we are its biggest fans. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no, I know, dude. But like, did you see in the web series the way they start with the conversation? And then you know what I mean? Like, we're so stoked to make it be awesome.
Well, it's in the layered. Like, I think we were intentionally always trying to jam pack the episodes, whether it's story or plot. But also just really like good. Background jokes and set jokes.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch it again, like our set decorators, everyone was creating their own set of jokes. So like every room has like a whole other layer of information about the characters, about what's going on. And so all these Easter eggs, it made sense that we went back to like the original tiny little jokes, which I love.
And I've like said this before, but like.
Say it again.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it again. It's like I feel like we made the perfect show that I want to binge watch.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to watch it while we've been making it because I'm, you know, or it's
well,
like
we do watch it when it airs.
Well, when it airs, but when it airs, what it feels like is like, you know, like,
we watch every episode together when we can because I think we're still like, this is crazy that this is on television.
I don't even like, I'm like, this better be on television. Like, this must be on television, but I feel more like, people are seeing my year. You know, it's like such a weird, like wild form of communication. And it's so powerful and effective. It feels like, I don't know, it feels like some drug, like watching it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I haven't like watched it yet. But I do wonder if I'll watch it in the summer.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I'm not like ready.
I feel like we talk about this a lot because I wasn't shooting a movie, but I was like, my month has been like so all over the place with randomness.
Yeah.
And that has been like bizarre where it's like different project and doing this and this and this. And and I feel like I don't know if I'll fully process it until, I mean, doing press for it obviously is one thing, but you know, we usually have a little bit of a hiatus and then we go back into writing.
Right.
And I think it might be around that time where I'm like, okay, and we're not coming back.
You know, I actually think it's going to be like January.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, I guess
it's always like those random moments where you're like, oh, what? This is actually really done. Yeah. Like, and everything. So how, like, I love how, like, New York plays such a big role in this show. Like, I was just telling her, I haven't been to New York since I was in middle school. So I haven't been as an adult, but I really felt like I got the experience, or I sort of got a sense of the experience of being a New Yorker.
And Amanda loves Sex and the City.
Yeah, and I'm like, but I'm like, Sex and the City, I don't know if
that's
was
a different
as,
kind
as
of New York.
Is it really realistic that somebody who's a writer can like buy $400 Manolos? And,
I do.
Like,
no,
I really,
it's fantasy, no. Which is like purpose, you know, intentional, I think.
Yeah.
But I feel like I got a sense of like, if I were to live in New York, this is probably what I would
do. We wanted it to feel really true to our experience.
Yeah.
You know, and even now that like we have like made this great thing and people know us and we, you know, have certainly more money than when we started, it like still feels that way to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we still evoked what New York feels like to us. And even though we captured a time in our lives that we felt that way, I'm still like, I mean, also, I'm like, this is Broad City. I brought all this luggage.
You know what I mean? And Alana is constantly doing, like, we have press up until like 9 p.m. And Alana is getting on an airplane immediately after for almost no reason. Do you have something tomorrow?
sleep. I have a date with my friend. And I wouldn't get that if I didn't.
You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't get that if I did a no. sane thing no. tomorrow.
Do people think that you guys are your characters, or do you get that a lot?
Yeah, that's like, does it bother you? Because it's like an extension of who you really are. Exactly,
like it's this like weird like fluid space that we've been.
Oh my God. Oh. Sorry guys, this episode is going to be a mess. Yeah, he's Australian.
Oh wow. No, this episode is a mess, but it's like properly a mess. Yeah, yeah. It's properly a mess.
We, like, honestly, it's probably the most fun I've had.
I always ask people, because they do assume that we are them, and a lot of us is that like they have all of our kind of heart and details. I when I'm actually talking to someone, especially like an interviewer, I'm like, well, I am, like, you can tell the difference.
You asked, right? Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like you can tell that it's so much us, but also we're different than them. And
I think also, like, when we stopped filming this season in like October 2018, there was this sense of like letting go of the need to define that. And it's like, yeah, you decide if you meet
you
me.
You decide, yeah.
Yeah.
And before we really.
We were like, it's not us.
We were like, it's like pretty much 15% us blown up to the full 100. But like, I would say that the other 85%, you have no idea who she is. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
It's like talking points.
it certainly became talking points. Yeah. And also, like, I don't know.
I think it's also the control is it like, so much anymore. A lot of it, for me at least, is Abby on the show, I think, outwardly emotes feelings that I would inwardly she's like, she's so much more outwardly anxious, and you know exactly kind of how she feels because she's like a bumbling idiot a lot.
I relate to that.
And I internalize that.
Yeah.
So it's so fun to play that part of myself more.
Right.
Open. Yeah.
It's like it's a form, like, of therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like for a catharsis. You get to, it's so like, I'm just doing it.
See, like, are you going to like let that out, that like steam out more in real life because you don't have Broad City? Or will you infuse it into the next project?
Well, I could write a whole book about being anxious or something like that. Yeah.
Because there's that one scene about the bacon, egg, and cheese or thing. And then you kick that bag of chips and you make a mess and you're about to leave and you're like, here's some money. That's like something I would totally do.
So didn't know that bag of chips was gonna break.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, really? No, I was gonna just punt the bag of chips and then it smashed and it was like in my Abby producer, I was like, yes. And then in the actor, I was like, she would give money.
Yeah.
Because that's
also that was like an improv scene.
Well, Lucia, who's like our main director and writer and producer on the show too, like, she knew I was gonna like be angry and throw something with the chips, and then I punted it because I had previously punted a rotisserie chicken, and I was like, interesting callback. And then we didn't know it was gonna break.
Yeah. Abby likes punting food.
That's right. But we're like totally scripted. We rewrite our scripts 12 fucking times. It is. Or did. But then we have these little moments that, like, you know, it's like, okay, we have this wide leave, you know?
Yeah. And it's just. So, like, how would we have ever been like, Abby punts a bag of chips and it breaks midair?
Oh, yeah. Like, exactly. You have to kind of.
They would have had to, like, cut I don't know how.
Oh, right. But we did write the punting because of the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So that wasn't even improv. That was like gorgeous cinema.
Nice. So how do you. Because, like, so Broad City was kind of this phenomenon, let's call it. Like, it changed this narrative of the female relationships on TV. And it was this really, I think it's a moment, you know? You guys created this absurd yet heartfelt world we could enter. But but how do you guys think, like, when you guys were writing, were you like, wow, this is gonna change the world? Were you surprised at what, you know, how people were receiving
it? Surprise isn't even my thing, but it's more like, okay, this is gonna be so fucking trippy or whatever.
No, it's okay.
But we're like, just like layers of shit like mimic each other, how like our cells are almost like people on Earth, and it's like, you know, people running around to their thing or whatever, and like the highways in the country look like our veins, like everything like mimics itself.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I think, I just like speaking for both of us, I think we, but maybe I'm wrong. I really got to.
You got to finish and then I'll see you.
What's mom going to say?
Yeah.
I think we just went like inside of ourselves and tried to really capture what that was, mm-hmm. and then put that out as honestly as we could convey it. And then I think it was mimicked in at a larger scale in the culture. Mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. you know, I think we were just, I know this sounds like, again, like it sounds blessed-ish, but like,
that's okay.
I think we were lucky enough to like deliver this message, yeah. you know, and this moment, to deliver this moment.
Yeah.
So mom.
I like it. No, it. And I just meant I didn't know if what you were going to say, because that was a new, that was a new soundbite.
There you go.
I think when we started the web series, we did not think this was like going to happen at all. And we were really just trying to create material for ourselves because we like could not get on anything. Couldn't like get cast in anything. So we're like, okay, our dynamic and friendship is hilarious to us. We have so much fun together. Mm-hmm. Let's just like start with that. And then it got attention. Like people really related to this friendship. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, once the TV show started, which was so, I think in the beginning it was just so insane that we were just like head down, keep going. Let's flesh out more and more about this relationship, because the web series is like 2 minutes of like us, you know, eating sour straws and like trying to buy pot, which the TV show is as well. But we were
like,
really,
it's genius.
No, but like we were really head down, not. We didn't like look up to think of like what the. Like what it was
going,
what it felt like to other people for a while.
Okay.
Because it was like, can't believe we're writing a season of TV, and like we were going to do it with all our best friends. And mm-hmm. it was just like, what is our experience really digging into our experience of New York and our like friendship and the friendship with the other writers and what we went through and like the shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And then I think after a couple of seasons, we were kind of more aware of it, but I don't think it made us write to that more. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of tweaking, like, okay, well, let's talk about seasonal depression, or mm-hmm. let's talk about what it's like for like your mom to like kind of like look at your life and not, you know, like more deeper things.
To not relate to your mom.
To not, and you know, more as a woman, deeper things,
of, like,
or
what's
like
available as women.
Like queerness and mm-hmm. and like leaning more into that. Like, and so in the beginning it was really very simple tasks, mm-hmm. which we tried to continue on, but it just got deeper, I think.
We like became increasingly conscious of our platform and how important it is. And I think we did feel like responsible, but also like, you know, a lot of comedies these days are like lookbooks or like motifs.
Oh, yeah.
You get like a vibe and like they're beautiful vibes. But for us, like comedy has always been, we want it to be motherfucking funny.
Yeah.
And like, that is not a thing now.
Yeah.
It's not a thing. And like, it's
especially
also,
like now, like, everybody, like you feel like you kind of have to be PC about
it. Dude,
everything.
I was just going
to
say everything. Because that's what I wanted to make sure when I'm saying like, oh, we're conscious of our platform. Like, but we weren't like, don't want to upset anybody.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Because
that shit
did.
Is such a boner killer.
Yeah.
It just deflates everything.
Yeah.
And you know, it's more important to me. It's more important that shit's funny. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And then if you, it kind of is testament to your show. It's like, all you guys aren't PC, but you're really not offending anyone.
Right. No,
comedy.
But like we had a thing in the beginning. So Alana is so, Alana, like on the show, is almost so culturally inclusive that she appropriates everything and is non-discriminatory.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes do you ever think that you're so not racist that it's racist?
And so she was wearing these Latina earrings.
Oh, I remember
in the beginning.
That one. Yeah,
and it was like not an insulting thing for us as writers because we were like, this character is this joyous inclusion of, but Alana's actual race was like not clear to people, mm-hmm. I think,
ambiguous.
In real life. Yeah, she's very ambiguous. And so that was like a very an important learning experience for us because we were like, wait, this isn't right.
We were like,
need
what's
to
the
comment on this.
You know what I mean?
And
it wasn't like Latino culture. It was like Latina.
Yeah. And it was like, what are we Jaime calling her out on it, mm-hmm. was like, that is what those two best friends would do. That's why they need each other. And like, I call Alana out on like Abby in the show. Alana calls like Alana's like, Abby, you called me because you know you want me to tell you to peg. You know, like they're there for each other for different things. And Jaime is there for Alana to kind of check her on that. Yeah. No. So, yeah. But that was also like an audience reaction that we listened to. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that's yeah. important.
We did. We grew in real time on
yeah,
the show.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. we made mistakes. And I think that's important to acknowledge them.
Were there any storylines that you were apprehensive about putting out there? Like it was some things that you guys were like, ugh. Like, maybe did you... Are there things that you didn't do because of that? Because you maybe like what
were a little bit kind yeah. of like, oh, is this too much? Like, yeah, like what was that fine line for you guys?
It's funny. It's like I feel like I'm just so focused on the work that once it's on TV is why I'm like screaming as mm-hmm. it airs because I'm like, I didn't consider this. Mm. You know yeah. what I mean? Like I
there's
don't
only
know.
Been a couple moments like that. I
and
think,
it's just
but...
so like hard, and we do every role so we've done every role on the show. So deep 10 months a year, you know, yeah. mm-hmm. that it's like if you were doubting it, like we can't live up here with yeah. it. We're like right. down here and we're like, okay, what works? What works for fewer locations? What's funny to us right now? Like, I don't know. Personally, I can't really remember being like, should we not?
Mm-hmm. I think something? It's sometimes the more nuanced thing where we're playing kind of these like dumb knucklehead white girls and we lean into that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. sometimes... people think that that's us. Like they're not, they don't always acknowledge that that's like the joke that we're trying yeah. to convey. Yeah. I think that's sometimes where I'm like, oh.
But I don't think anything where we're like, we shouldn't do this, no. guys. Yeah. We're like, what do we have to say? Because we got
yeah.
the mic.
Yeah, because there's like we purpose with your. Right
and there can, those we write it with those, knowing those characters are growing up and mm-hmm. they're making mistakes. So mm-hmm. they, I don't,
you yeah. know, pegging, we like really did not want to like shame, yeah. like kink yeah, shame at all.
Tanya but, Sriracha just talked about pegging.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Talked about pegging.
Pegging, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's the creator of that show, Vita. Yeah, yeah. She was just on our podcast earlier this week. Cool. She talked about pegging.
Yeah.
About doing it herself?
No, it happens in the second season of Vita.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, that's what you're all laughing about, like when she said pegging. It's like, no, we're not 12. We just talked about this on Monday. That's
yeah, yeah.
Right, right, right.
No, but I think.
You're like, we think this is funny. Now, yeah. you know what I mean?
But I think it's,
but it is like kind of kinks are like funny,
yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah.
and that's okay too.
Yeah, yeah. It's not your kink shaming, you're just like, oh, that's a thing,
and it's there yeah. can be a celebration mm-hmm. with that like giggle, you know,
yeah, mm-hmm. and they can be having a fight about like within the pegging situation, and it still be like a serious moment. But if I'm wearing a strap on in the middle of the fight, it's
yeah. like girls wearing like strap ons can be shot yes. hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or it could yeah. be shot funny. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like
there's no in between.
Yeah.
Or is there?
There is in between. I'd like to explore that.
Yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
there in between? No, but I really like what you said about like having this, you know, group of diverse friends or inclusive friends, because you learn from each other, because right. if you just hang out with the same people.
Yeah.
And I think that like kind of speaks to everything.
People now that we're know like that, yeah. it's done, I feel like able to feel this thing that art is like a recording of a relationship, mm. even if it's with yourself. But I couldn't have seen that before because I was so in it. And I was like, this is what life is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, that is so dope. It was a moment. We really mm-hmm. went mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where would your characters be in like 5 years, you think?
I think Alana would be starting a practice.
No.
Psychotherapy and... sex
I would so go to her.
Yes. Me too. Yeah. Me too. I would be like, help me, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, I would so go to someone. Like, my best therapist was the one who gave it to me straight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they didn't bullshit around.
And I think
yeah.
it is, we were talking about this last night, like, it's kind of scary to have a young therapist, or like, that's like a weird
younger
thing
than
me.
You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm open.
Yeah. yeah. I have a friend who's a psychiatrist, and like, I know this. It's like, can you imagine a psychiatrist who's 30? Like, that's yeah, crazy. That's
I would.
But also, yeah. it's dope.
Yeah, it's like refreshing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It could be dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where do you see Abby?
Not weirdly, but I kind of could see Abby back in New York.
Mm, I was thinking
what
that
do you think?
Too.
I was actually just thinking like Portland.
Really?
I don't know why. I like the. Sometimes I think the trajectory of like. like artists in that way is like going to a residency outside of New York, because New York is so competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And going outside of New York to find your voice.
Right. And then coming back.
Coming back, yeah, when you feel, yeah, like, oh, you have,
oh, a hero's
it.
Journey. How about, yeah, that?
Yeah, because it, like, I think it can be frustrating as a young artist to like, it's just, you're like, well, I'm never going to make it, right, here. Right. And I go and so, have some space and then come back.
I also think she could, like, come back and be like, what was I doing? I'm freaking out. And then go somewhere and has like a more stable time somewhere. Like, I feel like she's, yeah, an artist in that way.
Mm. Like, can you see them like exploring, having like the traditional nuclear family, like married and two kids and doing all that stuff?
I thought you met
stuff
with each other. I was like,
oh,
what would they, that's so funny.
That would be so would, funny if you guys funny, like, yeah, just had a family.
Yeah, that's truly right, what I assumed right,
yeah,
away.
Yeah, but know, like separately, do you think you guys can?
The character.
Yeah, the character. No, 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 no.
It's so hard to see because, mm, I really feel like it's like Alana's gonna have a baby at 42.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like, when it's also a weird thing to know their lives, yeah, and like stop the show, mm, kind of.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't really even see them that way.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I do so see them maybe the next 5 years, but I don't. Yeah. Or I see them like in 15.
15. Mm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
So like, you guys have a bunch of stuff. Like after Broad City, you got your first look deal with Comedy Central. You have a
false positive.
And also, what else do you guys have coming up? I mean, we're here at Deadline. We know a lot of stuff, yeah, but you know, like, you know, we have Malltown USA, yes, platinum status,
yes,
you know, League of Their Own. I don't know if that's still, you know, is that like, what else is going on with you? What's the progress on all y'all's space plates that are spinning?
We really like learned so much, mm, in Broad City, and we know how to write, show run, mm-hmm, head write, produce.
You guys could take over,
direct,
the world.
Yeah.
Edit shit. You know, like, I think we're like well equipped to try a lot of different things, mm, which I'm like really grateful for. Mm. Yeah. I'm going to do a stand-up tour and a special.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw that. Year. I'm excited.
Yeah, with, yes, Amazon. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun.
Yeah, together we are doing Malltown, which, mm-hmm, is an animated show.
Yay.
With Comedy Central, just in pilot right, mm-hmm, now. And we're doing that with our title and brand animator, Mike Perry, who does all the Broad City graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And then together we're also producing the show called Young Professionals, mm-hmm, which as in just in pilot too with David Litt, who is a former Obama speechwriter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's so funny.
That's
also
kind of
you're
fun.
An author. Like,
you, yes,
you got books to write.
You're like, oh,
I'm just going through our stuff.
New York Times best-selling author. You could do that too.
Yeah.
Well, I did that.
You guys can do it all.
No, seriously.
Yeah. And then A League of Their Own is in pilot mode right now. We're still working on it.
So
at Amazon.
I'm excited for that. I have that on VHS still.
It'll be a very different. It's like a different adaptation of.
Remember the series that they try to do? They did like.
Yes.
Oh,
like
LOL.
Right?
It was like, it didn't really, yeah, it was like not even a, I think it was like half a season.
Yeah. Was it a half? It was a half
or maybe
hour,
it was
right?
Yeah.
What year was it?
It was like right after. It was probably 96.
And then like, oh, there was like a handful, like obviously Gina Davis was in it.
I honestly like, never, I didn't see it. I know it just from.
But there was all,
yeah,
that.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm like right, yeah, they, yeah, tried to do this.
And there, yeah, was like a, there was like a laugh track too in that.
Oh!
I think
it was not. I would love to see that.
I think there was. I may be mistaken, but I remember distinctly. I was like, this isn't
so
like
funny.
The movie.
That's
and
why
I was
didn't
upset.
Laugh.
Yeah,
well, so. This might not be like the movie.
Well, okay, I don't so. Mind. Okay. But that, if it just as long.
As long as it doesn't have a laugh.
Yeah, this is long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I think you'll like this. This is dark, a little bit more,
oh,
dramatic version.
I know.
This week's episode is brought to you by National Geographic's acclaimed limited series, The Hot Zone, starring Emmy, Golden Globe, and SAG Award winner Juliana Margulies. Based on the best-selling book, the series is inspired by the terrifying true events of Ebola's first appearance on U.S. soil in 1989. Rounding out what Collider called an excellent cast are stars Topher Grace, Liam Cunningham, and Noah Emmerich. IndieWire called The Hot Zone a scary, absorbing thriller you won't easily forget, and Entertainment Weekly noted that the series is more relevant than ever. For your Emmy consideration in all categories, visit www.natgeotv.com/FYC for more information.
So just to kind of wrap up, because I guess we have to be out. we like to kind of end it on fun questions, just random questions. We call it the facts or the FAQs. Mm. So what are you two currently obsessed with?
Well, TV show, movie,
anything. Social media, anything.
I am a little bit I'm trying to become obsessed with this Gua Sha facial thing where you do like this like jade stone against your face and it's like fascia release. And it's like facial massage. And I've just been watching this like pretty woman on Instagram doing this thing to her face. So I've become obsessed with.
Wait, what is it called? Fascia?
Gua Sha.
Gua Sha.
G-U-A-C-H-A.
Okay, now I'm interested.
Honestly, at Brita Beauty, this like blonde lady who's like, she like, whatever, I'm just like obsessed with it. And I gotta learn it.
Okay, I'll say two things very different. I never, okay, so I'm very late to the Schitt's Creek.
Oh,
me too. I just started that.
And it's such a fun.
It's so fun and refreshing.
It is just a lovely watch.
Yeah, it is.
That's dope. It's like my new, like, so kind of like, I need to just chill.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a lot of chill. Yeah, it's a good chill show. So that, and then I'm also really obsessed with outsider art right now, which is untrained artists and a lot of artists with disabilities.
Ooh.
And I've become kind of obsessed with finding these galleries all over the country that represent outsider artists. Ooh. Really not a deadline conversation.
No, it's
that's I'm really like into it.
That's like a docuseries.
Yeah.
It truly is.
That's exactly
it truly
right.
is. And like that was in the works. Do not like to get that. No, that's my okay.
That's a great idea that has been trademarked.
Okay, trademarked.
That has already been discussed. And
I would watch that.
Yeah,
right?
Me too.
So you guys were judges on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan, a huge fan.
What do you do again?
What's that? Oh, I have a fantasy league. Yeah, or I used to have a fantasy league. Drag Race fantasy
awesome.
League.
That's so funny.
So I don't know if you guys are caught up with the season or you're not. Or, like, who are some of your favorite queens of the series that, you know, that you have, that you can remember? Or even on the episode you judged, like, what was the most memorable part of that?
Let me go, like, back to the series. I'm really excited for Shangela in general. Her star is rising so hard.
Yeah.
Yes. Incredible.
Yes.
She's everywhere.
Did you guys see her GLAAD performance? She did the
Beyonce.
She performed in front of Beyonce as Beyonce.
Yes. And just, like, in A Star Is Born, I was like, yes.
Bob
the Drag Queen is so funny. Bob the Drag Queen. Oh, God, yes.
I'm doing, like, sort of, like, one season of it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Milk is still funny to me. Trixie Mattel is, like,
yes.
is coming up in a writer way.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I just love that show. And it was so exciting to see you guys judging.
I'm really
on the
excited for Rue's fucking talk show.
Yes.
Oh, and also at the Met Gala, how he was like not only not in drag, but like just like you could see his fucking freckles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like all natural.
Yeah, he's au natural.
So gorgeous.
He was like Alicia
it's
Keys
unbelievable.
Makeup.
He's been on our podcast.
Yeah,
he has.
And Shangela.
Shangela's been on. Yeah,
You were like in Portugal or something.
Rue was truly stunning, and it does like take gender away just because. It's one of the prettiest like faces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Just beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I'm excited
for
that too.
Mm. Have you guys been to the Met?
Met Ball.
Okay.
We had a big discussion about the Met.
I just wonder how it is. Like it just looks very it looks like you just come for the carpet. Like I feel like everything else is boring. Like
I think it seems like exhausting but funny and absurd.
Yeah.
And
very.
Like probably overwhelming and torturous. Well,
I feel as though like I was thinking about this week when like because it floods your Instagram.
Right.
And I was like, well, I guess if because a designer asks you to go with them, right?
That's
how you go.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Or you spend like $40,000.
Yeah. Or I think you have to be arts. Special. I guess Anna has to by choose.
So like if someone were to ask me to go, I'd obviously go. But it is a thing that I would be like, oh, this feels intense and
like,
a lot of pressure
out.
And like what is the social aspect?
Is like pretty unbelievable to me where like you're supposed to like serve almost like you're in a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, you're supposed to, like, everyone's like,
you know what I mean?
Like it's someone's just like, gonna, like, come and get
it's yeah. just like you gotta, like, just be serving every angle. Like, it's so vague.
Like, in a Walmart.
But, it, like, that's funny. And it's so funny that the theme was camp because the thing is so fucking campy.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was, like, so self referential. Yeah. And, like, a lot of people, we were talking about this with Tanya, who was our guest before, and how, like, a lot of people didn't get the concept of what camp was. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Well, like, no, because, you know, you should read Susan Sontag's, like, yeah. Notes on camp, or, you know, studied past drag queens. Like, it just, yeah, it was very who interesting think... people's definitions of camp.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought, gosh. Like, Natasha Lyonne.
Yes.
Natasha Slay. I thought Natasha got it. I didn't see a lot of people that got it.
Wait, Lena Waithe?
Lena Waithe kind of was straight up.
Lena Waithe, it was like commenting
But I do think it was the lines of that suit, I thought. It was like Dick
Tracy. It was basically like a zoot suit. Yeah, it was like, and she was like serving face.
I did think it was camp because it was like almost drag.
Yeah.
And like Darren Criss.
I didn't see Darren Criss.
He was camp.
He was camp.
That's what camp is.
It was all over.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Like, I don't know a lot of but other I feel like people that, was that like, had it.
Yeah, there were some people who had Natasha elements of.
Natasha killed it.
Yeah.
Well, she's very light. Like,
yeah, she's so classic.
Yeah.
I was just talking to somebody. I was like, I wonder how it is, like, actually, like, because I feel like the red carpet is like, that's what you get dressed for, just to take the picture.
Right. Yeah.
And then, like, when you get inside, what, I mean, I know.
You eat. But well, they do they eat?
Well, like, or is that like a performance?
I think Cher performed.
Last year, Cher performed. Last year was Madonna, I think.
Right, yeah.
And I just watched Ocean's 8, and I'm like, oh, that's exactly how it is. Because they go, like, do a high spot on. I'm like, oh, that's exactly how that is.
I was just curious. It's such a big deal.
Well, like, also, like, I think Bette Midler went this year with Michael Kors, which I only saw because Danielle Levitt took all these photos of them on Instagram.
Of Bette?
But Bette is someone who could pull off camp.
Yeah.
Because
of who she is.
Exactly. Yeah, it's certain people aren't camp usually, but they can, like, they know how to slip into it.
Right, which is why Natasha was just like,
yes.
And Lena wasn't, it wasn't campy of Lena, but the choices she chose were representing camp, but she's not campy.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
cool as fuck.
She was camp in her own way.
In her own way,
I think we only have time for the last question.
Okay, yeah, okay. One last question. We asked this to all of our guests. Is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether actor, writer, producer, storyteller, that you think deserves more shine that is not in the mainstream or that kind of is coming up and you just want to give a shout out to? I know there's plenty.
You know who? I mean, this is like the industry. This is the music industry.
No, that's fine.
Do you know Chica, the rapper on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Aranica.
Chica Aranica?
Aranica is the Instagram handle, but Chica is her name as a rapper. She is one of the best rappers, I swear to fucking God, on the fucking planet.
I mean,
I swear to
fucking
God. And
we are in need of more female MCs.
And it's not even, it's so transcendent of gender. She is such a good rapper. You choke on it. You gag on this shit.
You know who I've been thinking? I sent her to Sam for Meaty. Okay, so she blew up kind of right after Kanye did interview with TMZ.
Oh, that one. About
and she like did a rap or like something. She did a rap after that and like blew up online.
Chica what?
It was like in response to one of his things.
Yeah, she's just like, shut the fuck up.
She's so good and smart. And she does like political raps after like terrible things happen, after shootings, and which is like, but it's really kind of an essential way to create.
She's just
her
incredible. She's like, it's beyond anything. Like, she's just such a good writer and rapper. It's like, okay, really like it's next level. It's the next generation. She's like the future.
Is her
rap.
Name? Is it Chika?
Chika is her name, but like the on Instagram, it's Oranicu.
She's Nigerian, I think.
Is she?
That's a Nigerian name, Chika.
But she's
That's how you spell it.
She's, I think, Nigerian American.
Just like me.
Oh,
so I definitely have to check her out.
And anyone else? Incredible. Anyone else you want to shout out? Each other.
I think that was a good one, though.
That is a good. Yeah. Now I'm gonna like. I think I vaguely remember her doing something after the whole Kanye interview, and kind of like recognizing that, but I need to dive into that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she doesn't even. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this is like someone who works with us who.
No,
I love,
go ahead.
Is Genevieve in Yellow, who like no one knows. Genevieve in Yellow is Lucia, who's our, like one of our writers and directors. and it's her little sister. And she came up, she started as a director's assistant on the first season, and she ran Broad City, the all the social platforms for like the entirety of the show, and it has been such a part of creating that brand, because like she runs Instagram everything by us, but it's lit.
It is,
and we don't do that shit.
No, she sends us stuff and we send stuff, but she mostly does it. Yeah.
Like she creates the content, and that's like great. That's a great.
And she finally got like her first staff writing job right now, and the other two. We had Sarah and Chris,
her best friend are like, they're so Romy and Michelle meets Broad City.
Oh, nice!
It's unbelievable. They're She's so funny. That's a great call.
Yeah. Genevieve. Oh, so shout out to Genevieve and Chica.
Yeah. Love guys. It. Thank you. I want to talk longer, but
I know, it's
really,
so much
really fun.
You guys are so fucking cute. I can't stand it. That was so fun. Good. Thank you.
I'm glad. Yeah. Thanks for the.
Thanks for introducing and like, you know, eliminating my doubt about the sous vide.
Yeah. Seriously.
So now.
All about eliminating doubt.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.